Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 19. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it was written, Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. This is the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Holy God, as you have so often done again and again, open our ears. Clear out the self-talk that keeps us from you. Dust out the negativity and distractions. Remove any doubt hindering our way. Amen. So I usually come up with a title before I write the sermon. So then I have to write the sermon around the title. I mean, I kind of know what I'm doing, but so I had already given the title out, and I was like, well, now I have to think of some examples of courage. And there are actually a lot of examples of like really great courage, like great acts of courage that I could think of, like the firefighters running into the Twin Towers on 9/11, Harriet Tubman continually leading slaves to freedom despite having been brutally beaten for doing so. Elizabeth Cady Stanton making way for women's suffrage. One of my favorites is Corrie ten Boom and her family who hid Jewish families in their home and were subsequently spending time in concentration camps for violating the law. And like those are some pretty... Those are some phenomenally courageous acts. And I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily feel particularly courageous after hearing those kinds of examples. Maybe you don't, or maybe you do have, like me, a list of fears that are just like a mile long. But I would say that we are all not only capable of courageous acts, but that each and every one of us performs acts of courage much more often than we are aware of. I'm reminded of another courageous person, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, quote from him, "Being courageous does not mean never being scared. It means acting as you know you must, even though you are undeniably afraid. Actually, courage has no meaning unless there are things that threaten, that make you feel scared. Whether we are afraid of physical harm or social shame and embarrassment, when we face our fear instead of denying it, we are able to avoid it paralyzing us." So you may have noticed that there were actually two stories in our gospel lesson today, but both of them have this theme of courage running through them. The first one, we have Mary of Bethany, who anoints Jesus. And I know there's a lot of Marys in the New Testament. So this Mary, this is the sister of Martha, of Mary and Martha, and also the sister of Lazarus, who Jesus, coincidentally, just brought back from the dead. So in this first story, Jesus is enjoying a meal with his friends, but don't get ahead of yourself. This isn't the Last Supper. This is just like friends hanging out and talking. They're probably just talking about how amazing it is that Lazarus is back. Martha's in the kitchen. She's making sure that the meal is absolutely perfect and that everybody has just the right amount. The spices are just perfect in every way. And then before anybody realizes what is happening, Mary comes over, kneels at Jesus' feet. She takes the covering off of her hair and unpins it, lets it all fall down. She opens a jar of very expensive perfume. It's kind of like an ointment. It's like the consistency of like that aloe vera gel, and it's filled with spices and essential oils that are meant to prepare a body for burial. And you can imagine, as soon as she opens that jar, the warm, earthy fragrance of spikenard, the balsamic and smoky aroma of myrrh, that spicy note of cinnamon, all of those overpower the room. And she takes the jar and she pours it onto Jesus' feet, and then she takes her hair and she wipes his feet off with her hair. I mean, it's a, like, I can picture it in my mind, and I think, like, I don't know, did she have to be particularly courageous to do that? First of all, we don't know what Jesus' feet looked like. But also, to anoint Jesus, especially as a woman, shows great faith, and she exemplifies discipleship before Jesus even teaches it. Before Jesus even said, "Love those around you," she has the courage to defy modesty customs and let her hair down in public. She risks angering her sister Martha, who's working away in the kitchen again. In a world where greed and consumerism reign supreme, Mary has the courage to demonstrate love and devotion. Judas and whatever other disciples or friends are there, they sort of look on, and they're just like in shock. The other Gospels mention multiple voices in the room voicing their displeasure at the waste of a year's wages. But John only mentions Judas complaining about the cost of Mary's action. Now, just before you try to distance yourself from Judas, what would you say if Glenshaw Valley decided to spend $60,000 on one worship service instead of caring for the poor? Still, Jesus defends Mary and her courage. So the next day, the crew gathers up and they take all of their courage with them and make the journey from Bethany to Jerusalem. This next story, this is Palm Sunday. This is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's the starting point of Holy Week. And it seems to me that this is most often interpreted as like a really joyful story, like this entry into Jerusalem. It's like a parade. It's a celebration. So why would courage be needed for Jesus to go into Jerusalem? Well, for one thing, the writing was on the wall for Jesus. Jesus has been challenging, even contradicting, the teachings of the religious authorities. He keeps talking about this coming kingdom, and he's making the Roman authorities a little suspicious. They're nervous that there's going to be a rebellion. Make no mistake, Jesus was a threat to the political structures of his time. And in that vein, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, it wasn't as much of a celebratory parade as it was a protest march. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was an act of civil disobedience. Those people in attendance waving their palm branches, a symbol of national triumph and victory in war, they were shouting Hosanna, which literally means save us. The people were there to protest against Roman occupation. They risked being jailed or much worse. It took courage for all of those people to show up for Jesus. Unfortunately, the crowd kind of misunderstood the nature and the purpose of Jesus' kingship. They believed he was king. They believed he was the Messiah. They thought that meant something different than we understand it today. They thought that Jesus was going to overthrow their oppressors using military might. Now, during this time, the Romans have their own sort of little victory parade on the other side of the city, just to sort of like show everybody their power. And their parades, the soldiers are riding these powerful war horses, and they're, you know, dressed in gilded armor. And Jesus mounts a young donkey. We are post-resurrection people. We know Jesus isn't going to save us by overthrowing the Roman occupiers with tools of war. We know that Jesus will save all of us from ourselves, from a death of sin. So as we celebrate Palm Sunday, we're reminded that we're not celebrating a God who will solve all of our problems for us. We're celebrating a God who's asking us to participate in what Jesus is doing. And that takes courage. It takes a lot of courage to live the way of Jesus. So again and again, we draw on courage to be generous when other people are storing up for themselves to buy a trendy gadget or a dream vacation. We draw on courage to see the humanity in people who have different ideologies, political beliefs, languages, citizenships. We have to draw on courage to feed someone who's hungry or give a drink to someone who's thirsty without first pausing to consider whether they're worthy of our help. We draw on courage to mourn with those people who mourn, even when the only connection we have with those people is that we're both alive on this planet right now. It takes courage to do the will of the Creator rather than to yield to our own self-interest. But where does this courage come from? Because I tell you what, sometimes I do not feel that courageous. That courage comes from the triune God who dared to create something out of nothing, knowing exactly how it was going to go. Our courage comes from Christ who lives God's way, even as the world violently rejects him. We draw courage from the disciples who dropped everything to follow Jesus. We draw courage from the saints who have gone before us as examples. We draw courage from the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, reforming us, showing us the way, calling us beloved and making us new again and again and again. Thanks be to God. Amen.